Welcome to Houghton House. As you make your way up the path towards the house, you'll get a superb view of its setting above the rolling Bedfordshire landscape. The location is striking today, but imagine what it was like in the past, when this was prime hunting land, valued particularly for its deer. It was this which, over the centuries, brought three different aristocratic families to live here. We're going to tell you more about the house's history later, but for the moment, we'd like to introduce you to the woman who built it. Mary Herbert, Dowager Countess of Pembroke, was in her 50s when the building work started in 1615. Mary was a highly educated and intelligent woman who was at the very heart of Jacobean culture. She was a great patron of the arts and received many dedications from grateful poets, the first woman in England not of royal status to be honoured in that way. Mary was also the sister of Sir Philip Sidney, the great Elizabethan politician, courtier and poet. His famous prose romance, Arcadia, was written for her, and after his death in 1586, she completed his translation of the Psalms of David. At different points during our tour, you'll hear... This is the signal that tells you to pause your player and follow the directions you've just heard. So when you reach the house, press play again. You're now looking at the south front of Houghton. Despite its ruined state, you can still get some idea of its elegance and strength, particularly the porch. Work on the house lasted from 1615 to 1621. It was intended as a hunting lodge, a country retreat from London to be used only in the summer. King James I, who had given Mary the land to build on in the first place, was also considering commissioning improvements to nearby Ampthill Castle, which was owned by the Crown. The work was never carried out, but James visited Houghton House in 1621, and above the porch there used to be a plaque which commemorated the event. Sadly, Mary had little time to enjoy her new retreat. She died in the same year, soon after the work on the lodge was completed. To the right of the remaining building, there would have once been a service wing, which would have made the house much bigger. It was probably added by later owners and wasn't part of the original design. When you've seen enough, go through the south porch into the first room of the house, and when you get there, press play again. The first room you come into is the Great Hall. After the Countess's death, James I took back the land and granted the property to the Bruces, originally a Scottish family who had been great supporters of his claim to the English throne. The Bruce family came into possession of the house in 1623, turning it into their family's principal residence. But Houghton House only really returned to importance again after 1660, when Charles II was restored to the throne. Robert Bruce, 2nd Earl of Elgin, 1st Earl of Aylesbury, had been an ardent royalist during the years of the Commonwealth, and as a result was now much in favour. With him, Houghton House entered its most flourishing period. Move through into the second room straight ahead of you. The Bruces left the outside of the building alone, but they made many interior changes as the house was the Bruce family's main residence, and so they had to adapt the interiors to suit their status. It's not easy to imagine now what the changed interiors looked like. But if you look to your right as you enter the second room, you can see underneath the niche in the wall a diagonal break in the line of plasterwork. This was the site of the grand staircase the Bruces created to lead from the hall to the great chamber above. When the house was dismantled, the staircase was installed in the Swan Hotel in Bedford. It can still be seen there today. When you've explored the interior, leave the house by the exit opposite the entrance you came in by. From this position, you can appreciate more fully the grace and originality of the house's original design. It's also rather unusual because the building is planned to be north-facing. This was obviously in order to take advantage of the best views out over the magnificent hunting territory beyond. Mary Herbert, Dowager Countess of Pembroke, for whom the house was built, was a trendsetter in every way. She was at the centre of Jacobean artistic circles and wanted the most up-to-date design for her summer residence. The main architect she used was probably John Thorpe. but at the centre of the facade you're looking at is an arched open set of columns. These are the remains of a loggia or covered porch. Above would have been a balcony on which it would have been possible to sit and eat whilst enjoying the view. The Countess and King James may have done just that. But what's remarkable about this loggia, even in its damaged state, is that it's one of the earliest examples of neoclassical architecture in England. The design is also of such high quality that some experts believe that it's the work of Inigo Jones, the great architect and creator of the Banqueting House in London and the Queen's House in Greenwich. When you're ready, follow the building around to the right of the loggia and press play. From the east front, you can again look out over the countryside below. In the second half of the 18th century, the landscape all around Houghton was very different. Close to the house, there were formal walled gardens. There was also an avenue of trees surrounded by a wilderness with ponds and lawns. While in the wider estate beyond, there were orchards, fields, dog kennels, and even a bowling green. In 1738, the house changed hands again. The Bruce family had fallen on hard times, and they sold it to John Russell, 4th Duke of Bedford. After letting it to various tenants, the Duke planned to turn Houghton into a home for his son and heir, Francis, Marquess of Tavistock. It was intended that Francis and his young wife would live there until they inherited the family seat at Woburn Abbey. Sadly, Francis was killed in a hunting accident in 1767. After Francis's death, the Bedford family tried unsuccessfully to find a buyer or tenant for Houghton. But the only interest was in the land, which was sold off to the owners of nearby Amtill Park. The house, with no land attached, had little or no commercial value. In 1794, the Duke's advisers recommended the building of an inn in Bedford to proclaim the political power of the family and entertain its supporters. The easiest and cheapest way to fit out what is now the Swan Hotel was to gut Houghton House. And that was what happened. A neighbour, the Honourable John Byng, came to witness the demolition and recorded in his diary his conversation with the workmen. They told him they had found much painting upon the wall when they ripped out the wainscot. "You attempted to preserve it," Byng asked, "and no doubt the Duke had accurate drawings taken." "Oh no," they replied, "the paintings were beaten to pieces." He then inquired after another room wainscoted with cedar, which he remembers. "Thrown among the other rubbish," is the answer. "Now why all this havoc and ruin?" Byng comments. "Shall I live to see all the noble old mansions of the kingdom pulled down or deserted?" The active life of Houghton House was over. We hope you've enjoyed your visit. Perhaps you'd like to visit other English heritage property nearby. Rest Park has one of the most magnificent gardens in England. It was the home of the de Grey family, whose remarkable funerary monuments can be found nearby at another English Heritage Free site, the de Grey Mausoleum. For further information and opening times, visit the English Heritage website. And don't forget to fill in the questionnaire there to let us know what you think of the tour. Goodbye.